Friends, good morning. The sun is shining. And we're grateful that you're here. Thank you for choosing to worship today at First Baptist Church. Welcome to you who are here on most Sundays. Welcome to you who are here for the first time or the first time in a while. It makes a difference to one another that the rest of us are here. Many of you who are members of this church family received word by email yesterday of a sudden and sad loss from our church family. Early yesterday morning, Ron Gregg, member and in many ways leader here in our congregation for decades, passed away unexpectedly about 2 weeks following major heart surgery. Please keep Ron's family, Mary, and the children, especially in your prayers. In its suddenness in particular, this is a very difficult loss. As always, there are announcements in the insert in your bulletin, and I'm not going to read through any of those except to point out that in today's Christian Education Hour, that is what we call second hour, it happens from 11:30 to 12:30, we have an adult offering a series based on African-American spirituals. This is the second session today. We had a great time last week. It is stimulating. It is deeply moving, provocative, great discussion. I hope many of you can join us in the lounge for that study today. Other announcements are printed. Take a look at those and draw what connections you should to your own circumstance and opportunity. Would you join me now in the responsive call to worship? One thing we ask of the Lord, that is what we seek. Let us sing and make melody to God, who hears us when we call out and who answers us with grace.
Thank you. Please stand if you are able. Let us pray. Creator God, you are the light in our lives. We seek your face today as we worship together in this holy place. Calm our fears and help us listen for your voice. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. My salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of all my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Do an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
The war rise up against me, and I will be confident.
Come, my heart says, seek God's face.
Your face, Lord, I do seek.
Wait for the Lord.
Be strong,
and let your heart take courage.
Wait for the Lord.
You may be seated. A reading from the letter to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies for the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you even with tears. Their end is destruction, their God is the belly, and their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and it is from there that we are expecting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation that it may be comforted to the body of his glory by the power that also enables him to make all things subject to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, my beloved. Thanks, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
Let us pray together, please. Merciful God, you know the secrets of our hearts. You know the hurts we tell no one else, our unexpressed yearnings, our unspoken regrets, the worries and fears we keep to ourselves. You know our hidden sins. All of these and more are held in your gaze. Some things about us are hidden even from ourselves, but never from your comprehending. The challenges and possibilities and opportunities that await us, you know the future we will face. Oh God, then teach us better to trust, better to reach out our hands for yours. Lead us to the wisdom of consenting to your grace on our lives, consenting to your desire for us and who we are to become. In it all, grant us eagerness to follow the way of Jesus. Now, once more, today we are sickened by the most horrendous bloodshed in Christ Church, New Zealand. Little children, young people, women, men, so many of your Muslim children murdered. The spreading plague of white supremacy. Oh God, help us. Help the human race. Forgive us, heal our wounds, cure our madness, raise up more and more people who will be instruments of peace and of truth and of reconciliation with each other, reconciliation with ourselves and with you. We are so tired. And yet we do not forget that in Christ you bore the utter evil of human violence, bigotry, ignorance, and hate. You bore it and transformed it into new life. In your compassion, still transformation comes to be and will come to be. To that end, we rededicate ourselves and we dare along with our lives to lift up our revolutionary praise. And now we pray for these people in particular, for all the family and loved ones of Ron Gregg, especially for Mary, his children, for Helen Louise Bowser, Carol Stumpf, Peter Beauvais, Roberta Hawes, Jean Evey, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Stacy, Bob Simpson, Ron and Donna Tipton, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Liam Clark, Anna Kirstein, Saw Nay Lynn, Judy Stratman, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., Marissa Alanese, for Lisa, for Andy Skilperut, for Dawn, Dale, Gloria, Pat, for Alice, for Lizzie. We open now our hearts before you in silence to ask whatever we need to ask now, to receive whatever we need to receive. All these prayers we offer through the one who is your best gift of mercy to us, Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will you stand with me for the reading of our gospel? This is the gospel according to Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you. Jesus said to them, Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way. Because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for Time as Children as we sing.
In this Lenten season, which means we're getting ready for the mystery of Easter. And one of the things we do to get ready to celebrate the mystery of Easter is to say what God is about and to say we're sorry for when we goof up. And so we have this prayer I want to do today in pieces. It says, You, God, you have made us by love. It was love that was what created you. You have made us by love, for love. So you've been made by love, and you've been made to love, for the purpose of God's love in the world. But we have fallen short of love. Do you hear love three times? You were made by love, you were made for love, and we've fallen short, which means we goof that up. We aren't always so good at being love in the world. So as a prayer discipline now, we're going to say that prayer. And you have those three parts. So can you practice them with me? You're going to say, I'm going to say, you have made us. And you're going to say, by love. Can you do that? By love. And then you're going to say, for love. For love. But we have fallen short of love. Can you say that? Of love. All right, so you have by love, for love, and we have fallen short of love. And then we say we're sorry. And we're all going to say that part together. So let's practice as a whole congregation. Can we say we are sorry? We are sorry. All right. Let's pray that prayer. And we're going to say it a couple of times because it's good to get that prayer going through our bodies and our hearts. And we can keep praying this prayer each day. God, you have made us, repeat after me, by love, for love. But we have fallen short, repeat after me, of love, altogether. We are sorry. Let's do it again. You have made us by love, for love, but we have fallen short of love. We are sorry. Let's do it again. You have made us for love, but we have fallen short of love. We are sorry. God, this is true. We name it, that you are about love, that you have created us to be about your love. And we know we mess up. So in this season of Lent, as we prepare for the mystery of Easter, we name those things and we apologize. We are sorry and we thank you that you forgive us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Pray with me. Lord, now may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some days it's harder than others to believe that love will win. When 50 people are shot to death while they're at prayer, it's hard to believe that love will win. When 50 people are shot to death because they are brown, because they are immigrants, because they are Muslim, It's hard to believe that love will win. When 50 people are shot to death in a city called Christchurch, it's hard to believe that Christ is doing anything other than weeping. Our world is in turmoil. The pain, the horror, the loss, the hate. It's hard to see what advantage love possibly has at a time like this against white nationalism and all other forms of hate and fear. It's hard to keep believing that people like us can do anything at all to make things change, to make things better. It's hard to believe that love can win because fear and hate and violence just have so much more power. Jesus knew the force of those powers very well. On his way to Jerusalem, some Pharisees come to warn him of the danger that waits for him there. "Get away from here," they urge him. "Herod wants to kill you." Jesus is defiant. He knows he is doomed. Yet he is nobody's victim. Jesus knows he will die as everyone must, but he intends for his death, like his life, to be part of God's larger purpose. So Herod does not get to determine Jesus' future, even if he causes his death. By the world's standards, Jesus is powerless. Nevertheless, he persists in his purpose, claiming an authority Herod cannot even begin to understand. Jesus says to the Pharisees, "You tell that fox for me. I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I'll finish my work. So I'm going to be on my way." Jesus is moving in the world with healing purpose and with love. And even in the face of Herod's threats, he will not be deterred or slowed down or turned around. And then his defiance turns to lament. He cries out for Jerusalem. He cries out to Jerusalem, the city he loves, a city that is determined to pursue its path of violence and destruction. He cries out to her, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing." The longing and lament in his words tell the sad and terrible truth. Things did not have to be the way they are. Humanity could have chosen better. We could have done better. We could have done so much differently, always. Jesus himself does do differently. He lays his longing bare. He lets us see his pathos, his pain, even though it makes him vulnerable. He doesn't flinch from showing how much it can hurt to love, to really love in this world. He offers himself as a mother hen. Of course, living as we do in the world of foxes, a mother hen is not really the protector we were looking for. I mean, we know what foxes do to hens. If Jesus was going to compare himself to a farm animal, couldn't it at least have been a rooster and not mama hen? Roosters have at least got those razor-sharp spurs on the back of their legs for fighting. They're tough. They're scary. Ask one of our sons who just a few years ago walked up to a rooster and just lifted his arms and crowed at the rooster, and that rooster charged after him immediately and nearly scared him to death chasing him out of the yard. When I was a kid growing up, my family raised chickens, and we would only ever have one rooster for the whole flock, because otherwise the roosters would fight each other rather than protecting the hens. One day while we were gone, a pack of wild dogs got into the hen house and killed every single hen, but not the rooster. When we got home, that old rooster was strutting around outside the fence. His tail feathers were gone, a little bit of his skin was gone, but he was still alive because when the dogs had shown up and started slaughtering the chickens, the rooster had flown the coop. That's what roosters do when threatened. They will fight or they will fly, but they will not just stay there to die. Not so with Mother Hen. When danger threatens, whether dog or fox or hawk, the first thing Mother Hen does is call her chicks. She has a very particular kind of clucking she will do for them. And when they hear it, they come running to take cover under her. And once she has them safely gathered under her breast, she fluffs herself up so big it looks partly like indignation, but mostly like protection. And she fluffs herself up so much, you can't even really see the baby chicks under her. She covers them. She almost sits on them just like she did when they were little eggs. A rooster may fight to the death, but a hen will protect her chicks to the death. She will stay, no matter what comes. She will put her body between her chicks and all predators, and she will die before she lets him get them. When that sly fox Herod was on the prowl, Jesus called himself a mother hen. And he made his own body, his own being, a shelter for us, for all. He wants us gathered, all of us, every last chick, up under his sheltering love. But that isn't the way we humans have wanted it. On the Mount of Olives, which overlooks Jerusalem, on the spot where Jesus wept over the city that rejected him, there stands a little Franciscan chapel called Dominus Flevit, which means the Lord wept. The sanctuary of that chapel was built in the shape of a teardrop. And over the altar is an enormous arched picture window that looks out onto the holy city that he cried for. The front of the altar is adorned with a mosaic medallion depicting a white hen with a golden halo, her wings spread wide, and underneath her are seven pale yellow chicks. Little black eyes, little orange beaks, and it's hard to tell if they are running toward her or away. In a ring under the medallion, in red letters, are the words in Latin, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings." And under the little chick's feet, in a pool of red, are the final words of Jesus' lament, and you were not willing. Willing. It's a word that actually appears in this short passage three times, though it doesn't sound like that in English because we translate it three different ways. But the Greek word, thelo, means will or wish or want or desire. And in this passage, we hear it. Herod wishes to kill Jesus. Jesus desires to gather the children of Jerusalem under his wing. And the children do not will it. It's very clear that what Herod wants and what Jesus wants and what the children of Jerusalem want are all in conflict and competition. And what about us? What do we want? We might be willing to gather under him if we got to say who else could be there and who could not. Or we might be willing to gather under him if we could just be assured that his way really was the way of rescue and strength and winning. If we could see any evidence at all that gathering under his wings would somehow disarm the foxes, save us from the powers that prowl and threaten. But we know that's not how it works. We know that to listen and respond to his call is to allow ourselves to be gathered into the very heart of his vulnerability. And we already feel so vulnerable as it is. On Friday, when the white supremacist terrorist in Christchurch, New Zealand, walked into the Al Noor Mosque to begin his rampage, one of the worshipers, a 71-year-old man, a refugee from Afghanistan, greeted him at the entrance and said, "Hello, brother." And then he was killed. The terrorist determined how the man would die, but not how he would live. And that man's last words were words of welcome, of embrace, of kindness, of peace, of kinship, of love. "Hello, brother." There are people out there with their guns and their bombs and their manifestos. There are people out there ready to spew their hate and live stream their carnage. There are leaders, our leaders, who stoke our vilest, basest suspicion of other people. The way of Mother Hen seems no match for that. Little acts of kindness and compassion, tiny efforts at understanding and embrace, small, simple words of welcome and love and hope. How can these small acts and words of love make any difference at all? On their own, they don't. On our own, we don't. But we aren't on our own. We are not on our own. Mother Hen is calling us, crying out with all her breath, calling us together, longing to gather us all in, crying for us to stand the way she does, with open hearts and outstretched arms, calling for us to live a vulnerable, gathering love. A love that puts itself between the predators and the prey. Calling for us to call out to each other, "Hello, brother. Hello, sister." Even when we're scared. Even when we don't think it could possibly be enough. It is enough. Such vulnerable, healing love is actually the only thing that ever will be enough. In the end, the foxes did get Jesus, but they could not kill his love for us. And nothing can keep us from that love except our own unwillingness. He is still calling for us, beckoning us towards great outstretched arms of love, yearning, dying to gather us, all of us, in. Are you willing? We were made by love, for love, and in love we respond by giving what we have, by giving our lives, and by giving with joy. Let's do so now. Gracious and loving God, receive these gifts, receive our lives, and take our church to use it and fill it with your Spirit and your transforming love for our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
calling us home, calling us to extend home to each other by extending peace and love and welcome. The peace of Christ be with you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you.
May God's face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you.
May God give you grace to love with all your heart.
That you may do justice.
To love with all your soul.
That you may show kindness.
To love with all your mind.
That you may walk humbly with your God.
Friends, go